Welcome, everybody, to the Fandom Podcast Network's presentation of True Believers, a Marvel MCU podcast. Here on True Believers, we will be discussing everything that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming items on Disney Plus, including the connections to the original Marvel comics and how they relate to past, current, and future MCU universe projects. Of course, before anything else, before we get into any kind of mischief on this podcast, massive spoiler warnings. We are going to be diving into episode 3 of Loki heavily in this podcast. If you have not watched it yet, go watch it, come back, listen to what we've got to say about that. But we've got a lot of other things going on too, but you know what? We can't do a show without extra guests. I mean, I'm Kyle, I'm your host, but my co-host is here. He is the co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network. He might know a thing or two about some sword play because he also is the host of Blood of Kings, Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
I got my daggers back. I'm ready, baby.
And also, following last week's episode, back by popular demand with his golden vocals, here to do some more singing for us, Mr. Lee Fillingsness.
And sorry. How are you doing, everybody? It's good to see you.
Lots of stuff going on here with True Believers, but we want to make sure you also take a moment to check out our Facebook group and feel free to join it. We're talking all things MCU and Marvel and that. Of course, that's also headed up by Mr. Dave Fielding, who, Kevin, I think he does a pretty good job with running that page.
He does, yeah. He's a big old Brit nerd. We like him for that.
Yeah, the accent might be a little funny. You might think he's trying out for Captain Britain, but it all works. Of course, we are going to be talking in this episode about episode 3 of Loki, Lamentis. But first, we've got a little bit of Marvel news. Because, Kevin, they've done it to us again. Marvel likes to seem to do this right before we record this podcast. They dropped the newest trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. And, wow, I'm just going to say that, gentlemen.
Yeah, I was literally just watching it as we were getting ready to record this, and I was like, dude, new trailer's up, and we all just watched it for the first time, and it shed a little bit more light on what we're going to see, and it looked really cool. Visually, it looks fantastic, too.
And I was looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, this is so much of the imagery that we're used to from the Netflix stuff with the style and budget of the MCU, and I'm really excited to see where that goes. That looks really cool. And I think, Kyle, you and I are in agreement on who we saw in the water there.
Yeah. First, real quick, I love your comparison to the Netflix shows because it does kind of have a little bit of that feel to it with a bigger budget. But yeah, it looks like we might have a certain dragon showing up because it sure looked like we saw Fing Fang Foom, who a lot of people have been hoping was going to be in this film. Now, is it confirmed? Kevin Feige hasn't said. This trailer just popped out. But Lee, I know that grabbed your attention when I told you to watch out for this in the trailer.
Yeah, well, and even when we were talking about the Netflix shows a couple episodes ago, like I was hoping when we were watching The Defenders that big hole that they were talking about was Fin Fang Foom. And they even had like a dragon skeleton in that cave. So like this is finally paying off all that groundwork that they laid and then ignored. So I'm happy. I just hope it's not a bait and switch like the last time we had the Mandarin.
We're not going to talk about that. Kevin, I know it's a shot at Iron Man 3 there, but you kind of were asking some questions about who the heck is Fing Fang Foom?
Yeah, it's a name that's fun to say, but I don't know who Fingy Fangy Foomy is.
Well, there was a point in time where Marvel was very heavily into monsters. In fact, Marvel even had the rights to Godzilla and was doing some Godzilla comics. But Fing Fang Foom has been around in the MCU for a very long time. If I remember correctly, Lee, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a while, Fing Fang Foom was actually an alien at first.
That does sound right. But I think, like everything in Marvel, it got retconned at one point or another.
Yeah, and it's been retconned to tie in with Shang-Chi and Iron Fist. Actually, has been a villain of Iron Man's for a good while, mm-hmm. too. There's several classic Iron Man Fing Fang Foom battles that have happened over the years.
Well, you know, I mean, considering the Mandarin was the Iron Man's kind of great enemy for so long, it makes sense. Of course, now that we're a little bit more cosmic and a little bit more mythological, I think it's good bringing it in this way, too, at least for the cinematic flair.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hopefully this isn't a troll. This isn't, oh, hey, we got you again. And it really is Fing Fang Foom. I don't know how big of a role, if it's going to be like a flashback thing or, you know, he's proving himself worthy of things, but it's going to be interesting. Kevin, I know you had a few other questions too.
One other question. I was curious, the character of Shang-Chi, does his, when he joins or is expected to join, you know, the MCU or maybe the next Avengers type thing set up. You know how, like, we get Doctor Strange, he brought in, you know, Mr. Wong with him. Is he going to bring any other allies with us that might stick around, you know, like what we get with Black Panther and his people from Wakanda? Are we going to get some other people that might stick around other than just Shang-Chi?
I am thinking from what I've seen in this film, because Shang-Chi's always kind of been more of a solo act. But I think mm-hmm. we have maybe another version of Louise with Awkwafina's character mm-hmm. in this film playing his best friend. I think she's going to be somebody who might stick around a little bit in the MCU, kind of like Michael Peña as Louise.
I'm a huge Awkwafina fan. I love her.
Oh. Now, you had one other question for me, though, about this movie, Kevin, because you were asking me something regarding the Mandarin.
Well, he was asking about the Ten Rings.
I was asking about
the Ten Rings, the power set.
I was asking about the powers that Shang-Chi will get. Obviously, he seems to be a very good martial artist because he gets that through the training growing up, and we see the flashbacks of that. And I was curious, what type of powers exactly will he get with the Ten Rings that will help him make him a superhero?
I'm not going to necessarily say he has the Ten Rings in his possession at the end of this film. This is where things are happening, where the movie's kind of changing things, because it's a retcon that the Mandarin is Shang-Chi's father, because for forever it wasn't. In the comics, the Ten Rings each have their own individual power for the Mandarin. Now, there's a mind control one, there's an energy based one, there's a fire one,
a soul ring, right? So there's a time ring.
Not so much like that, but
earth, fire, wind, water, heart.
Yeah,
but your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Oh boy. And just like that, it went off the rails. But originally,
thank you.
You know, Don Cheadle now has two roles in the MCU.
If you don't know what he's talking about, look up Don Cheadle as Captain Planet, because it's amazing.
Oh god. Yeah, that's funny. That's a good one.
Anyway, in the comics, the rings originally were the control units of a spaceship that the Mandarin had found crashed on Earth. So obviously they're going with a whole different route here. I'm interested to see how this plays out, but with the retconning and kind of setting up things in the MCU, I don't know officially what those powers are going to end up being as far as the representation of the Ten Rings. Obviously they've already changed it toward like a more of a bracelet kind of thing for the wearer instead of actually rings. So, but I'm looking forward to this film because it just feels like that. Like Lee said, it has that Netflix feel, and the, especially in this trailer, I'm sold on the fight sequences.
If you have control of the Ten Rings, wouldn't it be cool in the movie that if he could actually turn them into like rings for their fingers or something like that?
And who knows? It might be. I mean, it's hard.
Support some bling. You know?
It's hard to say, but I'm really looking forward to this. I think this movie's going to be, this is going to be a fun Marvel movie. I think this is going to fall in that kind of action, but a little bit like that Ant-Man category where you just, everybody's having a blast with it. So looking forward to that. It's been a little
hold on real quick. The movie takes place in
San Francisco.
It looks like a chunk of it takes place in San Francisco.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is where Ant-Man takes place. Maybe a little Lewis cameo, maybe Luis.
He can meet up with Awkwafina and they can exchange stories.
Honestly, if we had Luis just give us the background of Shang-Chi and that whole thing, we could get a wonderful Luis moment, and B, get through all the exposition and just get right into a movie.
We love our Luis around here, but we're here to talk mainly about episode 3 of Loki. But before we do that, Kevin, you got to tell the people how we do things around here, because this is no ordinary podcast.
No, we stand out for one particular reason, because we don't have segments. No, this is a Marvel MCU podcast. We've got phases. We got four of them. First one starting with our plot description and reactions to it and talking about the cast as well. Phase two, we got some trivia. Phase three, we got the deep dive into the plot analysis, ties to the MCU and comics. And of course, our final phase where we give our episode final thoughts and next week's predictions. So there we go. All right. Loki, episode three, Lamentis. Episode aired June 23rd, 2021. That was yesterday for us. And I got a little plot description for you guys. Before Loki and the Time Variance Authority, the TVA, arrive in 2050 Alabama to apprehend her, the variant, also known as Sylvie, projects an emulated memory into her captive TVA agent, Hunter C-20, to collect information about the location of the Timekeepers, the TVA's creators. Following Sylvie's escape, Loki follows her to the TVA, where they are confronted by TVA Judge Ravonna Renslayer before Loki uses the Tempad to unknowingly escaped to 2077 Lamentis-1, a moon soon to be crushed by a planet. Upon arrival, however, both are unable to escape once more due to the Tempad having run out of power. The two sneak aboard a train bound for the Ark, a spaceship intended to evacuate Lamentis-1, in order to siphon its power and recharge the Tempad. While on the train, Loki gets drunk, causing him and Sylvie to be discovered and forced out by the guards, accidentally breaking the Tempad in process. In response, Loki and Sylvie are forced to approach the Ark on foot. During their journey, Sylvie reveals to Loki that the TVA agents are variants, not creations of the Timekeepers, as TVA agent Mobius M. Mobius claimed they were. Loki and Sylvie eventually arrive at the Ark's location and fight their way through the guards, only to witness it being destroyed by a meteor, leaving them stranded. So this is where we'll get into our first reactions here, guys, of the of this episode. Kyle, before we do that, though, I do have some episode reviews, and there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. So do you mind if I kind of go over a few of these first?
No, go ahead and hit them up. I think I know which direction you're going here. So,
yeah. So I wanted to come up with some reviews, and I picked some IMDb reviews because I wanted to see if there was a review that can kind of crystallize my thoughts about this episode going into this. And because I was kind of curious to see, and also I noticed that it was also of the three Loki episodes, it's the lowest rated one. And so I came up with a few I wanted to go by, and I just wanted to see if this kind of lands anywhere you guys might be thinking, as well as I am, and maybe our listeners, or if I'm in the minority. So I got one here. It says, fun, but doesn't add to the story. Don't get me wrong, this episode was a lot of fun with good action scenes, but sadly, it just felt like a filler episode. It almost seemed like a pause for the really good stuff that's going to happen later on. It's a fun episode, but it's only filler for the upcoming episodes behind this episode. I look forward to see the other ones. Next one is called Nothing Much to See Here. This episode unfortunately goes nowhere. We don't learn much about what is happening in the previous episode. Loki mysteriously doesn't ask the obvious question about what his alter ego just did in the timeline. It's the slow point in the middle of the story where experienced writers should know how to spice things up to avoid boring the audiences. In this case, the writers decided to substitute an entire episode of roadblocks and fighting, moving the plot forward. There's another one here. Did we take a wrong turn here? The reviewer said. I thought the first two episodes were fabulous, but I really didn't see the point of this episode character development? Setting up later episodes? Stalling? The writing is poor. Not sure what happened. Hopefully back on track next week. Got a few more here. This one titled Bad Doctor Who Rehashed. Honestly, thought I was watching an episode of the new female lead Doctor Who. Shockingly, bad written episode that went nowhere. I just want to let you guys know there's a lot of references to Doctor Who in these reviews, and I've been seeing this elsewhere. Another one says, this episode's okay, so where do we leave off? Loki disappeared behind a female Loki, and that's even who she is. And the whole episode is about them bonding. It's not even a worthy episode until the last 10 minutes. Even then, we get a glimpse of something good happening, and then we're back to nothing. This is a filler episode.
So I was seeing a lot of these, and it was kind of cementing my opinion that I wasn't the only one that was feeling this after watching this episode. I've seen the episode twice. After I watched it for the first time, I was left empty and unfulfilled. I thought it was a complete waste of an episode of what they could have done with the opportunity they had at them. You learn nothing about Sylvia that's really important to what we think is going on. We get a little bit, it could be called character developing with her quirks and her style and stuff like that. She does shed light, of course, on the TVA. We kind of saw that coming, though, that the TVA was feeling like a Hydra in their own way. The only really big news that came out of this was the fact that the people were, variants themselves working for the TVA and not knowing what's going on, and that the main characters are bisexual. So I don't know. Where do you guys stand on this?
Okay, I'm going to chime in here quick because there's a few things. I kind of, with you, Kevin, on my first watching, I kind of came out of it going, did I just watch an episode of Doctor Who? And I even referenced this last week that I don't know whether to call this show Loki Who or Doctor Loki, because that this show is throwing out a lot of Doctor Who vibes. Not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. I also went into the show knowing this show is not probably going to be quite as heavily action-packed as Falcon Winter Soldier or even WandaVision, because we're dealing with Loki, and Loki talks. Loki does most of his things with his intelligence and his talking. So I wasn't expecting that. My problem that I had with this episode was we only have 6 episodes of Loki, and this just felt like it took way too much time for a couple of major plot points. And one of those plot points that I know a lot of people are jumping on is the fact that it was revealed Loki's bisexual. If you've read the comics, you've known this for years. And I think it's just something that, hey, great, Loki's bisexual. Let's move on.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, good for him. You know,
Yeah, good for him.
I get some people's excitement of the recognition.
What's happening in the MCU? Yeah. How does this help the MCU?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I keep going back to what Feige had teased, saying that this is going to change, you know, what's going to happen in the future MCU a lot. I have not seen that yet.
But also, obviously, we have the huge revelation about the TVA, which I think is huge, because I think it's starting to see the switch that something we suspected with the TVA was that they're not the good guys per se here. Kevin, I got to disagree with you a little bit on the Sylvie character development, because there's a couple things in here that happen. As we're seeing Sylvie, I'm really more and more convinced she's not a Loki. I don't know what she is. I've heard a couple of interesting theories on other podcasts. I just don't think she's a Loki. And as far as...
I agree with you. I don't think she is either.
As far as the character development of it, she has a line in here, and I think it fits the character. She's like, no, it's to my advantage not to reveal anything to you. Loki's like, well, I've told you so much about myself. And she's like, yeah, well, strategic advantage to me because you've done this. I think when I came out of this episode, again, Hiddleston is fantastic. But there's just, I came out of this episode going, the way this episode ended, knowing that we didn't address anything that happened at the end of episode 2 to the time stream, and we have so many questions in 3 more episodes. This isn't like Falcon Winter Soldier, where things are fairly straightforward in what the directions they're going. There's a lot of complicated pieces here that are going to affect, I think, and tie into other Marvel movies. It feels like we have 3 episodes to tell a lot of complicated things. I don't know if they can pull this off from what I've seen so far of how the show's pacing and writing is going, Lee.
For me, this was the episode that kind of picked up the pace a little bit. And I actually, in hearing your points, I understand why you feel the way you do. However, I was expecting the opposite response, because this is the one that started with some good fights, had some good action set pieces, really started to move along. I will say the response that I've seen to Loki admitting to being bisexual is really kind of frustrating, because he had one sentence after being in the MCU for over a decade, and it's 13 years old now. And, you know, one sentence in 13 years and people are saying, oh, it's being rammed down our throat. So I think that's kind of, if that's a problem for you, you understand what everyone means by intolerant. Now that said, I am your nerd and your linguist. And there are some things that were brought up in the song that Loki was singing, that if you speak Scandinavian languages and know your opera, there is a whole lot that is revealed. And I think that we are not done figuring out who Sylvie is. It's just, I think it's going to be huge. So
that should have been done in this episode.
And it's like a...
Not
it's like I said last week, though, this is a season as a story, not six stories. And I think that the slow burn is going to pay off in a big way with this.
When I look at the six episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, by the end of episode three, we had been to a lot of locations. It felt like we were in the MCU. The world building was definitely MCU world building. And the pacing was a lot better.
Kevin, just real quick, to counter you for just a second on this. As far as world building in the MCU, I think Loki's plan is to world build, but do it in a place we haven't seen a lot of world building yet. And I think with the time stream and everything like that, and I think that's intentional. I think we're going to get there. But again, three episodes to do a lot of world building with that to at least lead it into what could be coming up in some Marvel movies. I'm just not convinced that they've been fully handling their time well with the series so far, as far as the pacing. So, but I can get where you feel that way to you want to be more MCU involved now.
Yeah, I understand they're trying to save the Sylvie secret and drag it out as long as possible. They had to have this episode for them to bond and get to know each other and maybe build a little bit of trust. To where, you know, they can at least.
I think this is the episode people are going to come back to and realize that, you know, Kaiser Soze was just reading off the board behind him. And he's like, oh, yeah, when I was in the marching band in Skokie, Illinois, like everyone's wondering why does this matter? I think this is the episode everyone's going to go back and like see the breadcrumbs that were being dropped.
Now, I honestly thought that the fighting in this film was just. I don't know. I thought it was lazy. The action scenes toward the end started to pick up a little bit, but I mean, I thought that they were struggling way too hard against these people that didn't really have that best of fighting skills from what I've seen from other MCU fighting, like especially in Falcon and Winter Soldier, where I thought it was more warranted and stuff. But yeah, you got to throw in some action, but I just felt it was kind of gratuitous. I was waiting for it to be done, to be perfectly honest with you, because I wanted more character development. And I got a little bit more from Loki, but I got not enough from Sylvie to be satisfied with this episode. Hopefully I'll get more of that. I hope this happens. But I'll be honest with you, looking at Loki before it started and how excited I was and where I was hoping in the middle of this series would be, I am dissatisfied of where we are right now with only half it being done.
I will say this. Just remember, Loki is always working an angle. And Lee, I want to ask you, you brought up the song, and I know we'll get more into that in a little bit, but I did get a feeling, because he kind of changes up, he's singing the one song, then he changes up and speaking in that in the language. I'm like, and I agree with you, that there was a whole feeling of the fact that the song changed so much. There was more to that than meets the eye, and I definitely got that feeling. Luckily, we have you here, and I know we're going to get into that.
Well, and it was the same song, they just changed the language, and... If you read the subtitles, whoever did the subtitles just said Asgardian and didn't know that that's a Nordic language. I think it's Icelandic from the way he was pronouncing it. It was not Norwegian or Swedish and definitely not Danish.
I did want to get you guys' comments on the cast real quick here. One of the highlight for me was Sophie DiMartino. I did like her as Sylvie. I found her charming. I thought she was funny. I did like the chemistry that was starting to build with Tom Hiddleston's Loki. We got Sasha Lane back as Hunter C-20. We also get a couple of guards called Private Hudson and Corporal Hicks, which I thought was great. Lee, what'd you think of the cast?
I really liked it. I did like seeing C-20 in a non-military role. You sort of get a sense of her as a person. And I think that right. little bit pays off later. And it also kind of makes you wonder how much of the episode could be Sylvie enchanting Loki. Because she does try to do it at one point. And it could be everything from that point on is actually her telling a story. but it also could not be. But I thought that was actually a really interesting thing. I laughed like you did when I saw that it was Hicks and Hudson in the credits there. I'm like, yes, we got some Aliens fans. I like that.
Kyle, Cass?
Hiddleston Nail is great again. This is the first time, though, I felt like we're seeing a totally different Loki than we've ever seen before, because there was just something about the way Hiddleston portrayed Loki in this episode where it didn't feel like the evil, vengeful Loki that we were getting from Avengers, but it didn't feel like this Loki we had in even Thor the Dark World or with Ragnarok. This felt like a little bit of a different inclination of Loki and how he approached some things and things he was doing. So a lot of credit to Hiddleston there. Obviously, Sofia DiMartino was phenomenal as well. I think she really brought Sylvie up to an interesting level and a lot more curious about what is her motivation to do all this. And the fact that what she reveals in this episode, which I know we'll talk about here shortly, it's big. But I mean, yeah, I mean, this was a tour de force episode for Hiddleston and DiMartino as far as the series goes.
All right. Let's head into phase two. We got a little bit of trivia here, as we mentioned, tribute to Corporal Hicks and Hudson there, respectively played by Michael Biehn and Bill Paxton in the original Aliens. That was fun. The last scene is a long shot of a little more than 3 minutes. Kind of felt like a little Scorsese shot, as we call it. Thought that was pretty cool. Of course, this episode does not feature Owen Wilson and Tara Strong. The episode reveals that the workers of the TVA weren't created by the Timekeepers, but are all variants. This also gives a hint as to why Mobius is interested in 90s and jet skis. It's possibly he came from that time period. In the comics, the character of Sylvie is the second version of the Enchantress, who was given her powers by Loki when he created her as a tool for chaos. While she was created by Loki, her powers and abilities are similar to those of the original Enchantress. This could help connect Sophie DiMartino's Sylvie to Loki as to the possible that other Loki created her, or that she's a version of Loki who is merged with the character of Enchantress. Kyle, also too, I learned that Sylvie was also part of the Young Avengers.
Yeah, she kind of bounced from the good side of Young Avengers to another team that was kind of like the evil doppelgangers of the Young Avengers. So it's interesting. In the comics, they really did play up with like the Enchantress kind of jumping sides to whatever her advantage was. There's so many interesting little things that they're doing here with Sylvie. I don't even necessarily know that she's meant to be a second version of the Enchantress. Again, there's a lot of interesting theories out there. And there's one I've heard even where it might be a variant of Loki's mother as well. And so,
gotcha.
A lot of interesting things.
The one raised by witches.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But I mean, so there's a lot of things, I think, in different directions we could see with Sylvie in the last half of the season of Loki.
And the last bit of trivia, of course, mentioned regarding the sexuality. It is revealed that Loki and Sylvie are bisexual. Sylvie asked if there is any would-be princesses or perhaps another prince, to which Loki responds by saying, "A bit of both. I suspect the same for you." All right, we're going to take a quick break from our True Believers MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood of Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
All right, welcome back. We're going to be talking in phase three about the plot analysis. We're going to dive a little deep into this if we can. It'll ties to the MCU. I want to ask you, Kyle, the planet they were on, I think towards the end there, could possibly be a colony for Xandar being destroyed, which was mentioned by, I think it was Thor, that one of the places that, you know, a certain Infinity Stone keeper would destroy there. Possibility, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think this is just one of those, we're going to create an apocalypse site and have, so we can have a little science fiction feel to it. Things like that. There's not any, this episode in itself, there wasn't a ton of connection to things that have happened in Marvel
Comics. Yeah, and this was 2077, so that's, you know, couple decades in the future here.
Yeah, what about this theory I found out about? That Timekeepers, TVA, whatever you want to call them, being controlled by Kang to keep tabs on everything and to control it. Thus, why he'll be introduced as the main villain in a new Ant-Man movie.
I think there's a possibility of that, because one of the things, if you notice in the final sequence of the credits, when they kind of close look at the face of the one statue, there's lines down the face that are very reminiscent of Kang's mask in the comics. So there could be some ties there. Again, this is going to be the question of, is Marvel willing to introduce this maid, which I think is going to be a major villain in phase four, in Loki. And again, we've kind of been trolled. We thought about it with WandaVision. There was aspects of Captain America or the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We thought, was this going to happen in here? And they didn't happen. And we've kind of been like dangling plot threads. I could see where there's a mention of Kang before this is all said and done. I don't necessarily know that we see Kang in Loki. We do not see Kang until Ant-Man.
It's interesting. When I started the episode, I do this now when I start Disney Plus episodes, because the credits are always so long. There's like, you can tag on like 10 minutes of credits for each of these TV series, because so much work is put into these and so much people work on these. And I was looking at this going, this thing is 42 minutes long. You can make sure that 10 minutes of that is credits, so we get in a half an hour episode compared to the one that was 52 minutes prior, which, you know, 42 minutes total with you know, including the extra credits. I was going, man, I hope they sneak a lot of stuff into this.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, I think that's one of the other issues, is this episode was short. And again, because we only have six episodes, each episode of Falcon Winter Soldier, I think, exceeded at least 40 minutes or right in that time frame. And that's not including the credits. So again, with just so much going on, I'm not sure what direction they're going with here, but I want to ask both of you guys real quick, when it comes to the final scene of this, there was part of me that was expecting Owen Wilson's character like to pop up and be their way out of this situation before this episode was over. Were you, either of you guys, kind of getting that vibe at all, or was it just me kind of going, well, here's what probably is their way out?
You know, Lee, that's a great question, Kyle, because when it ended, some people were saying, oh, it ended on a cliffhanger. I'm like, that wasn't a cliffhanger to me. That was like, you left me hanging, but not cliff. You left me disappointed because it ended so quickly. I wanted to see a little bit more. It would have been better if Owen Wilson came in and rescued them or did something like that. What were your thoughts, Lee? Did you feel the same way, or did you get the cliffhanger?
I got the cliffhanger feeling off of it. I kind of feel like there's something. I think our MCU connection is coming in episode 4. Because something's got to get them off the planet, because they have tried all of their tricks, all of their everything else. And there's got to be that something that, because right now, you know, they need to figure out how to fuel up the Tempad or get off the rock. And they have no option available to them right now. And you kind of need the Deus Ex Machina device to kind of come in and save the day.
No, there is no Tempad because that went to pieces. Yep. So it's going to be interesting to see how that aspect plays out. But I was just kind of curious to see if either of you guys were kind of feeling like, was this a possibility? I mean, it could even open up that way within episode 4. I want to ask you both too, because with this episode, one of the things that was missing was there was no TVA in this. We left it with a major cliff. You want to talk about cliffhangers? We left it last episode with a major cliffhanger with the TVA, where we're seeing all these variant timelines from what Sylvie did, and not addressed at all in this episode. I'm almost wondering, and I'm a little worried here, and I want you guys' thoughts on this. Is episode 4 going to be no Loki, and it's dealing with what's happening with the TVA, and then they cross the things at the end?
You can't have an episode without Loki. You know, it's tough, but I really hope they press on the gas here, because I'm frustrated with this right now. I'll be honest with you. This episode for me was a big letdown. I'm bummed about it, to be honest with you.
So Lee, I want to go to you, because there's a couple other quick pop points I want to hit, but let's start with Lee, our linguistist, our man with the golden vocals. Let's hit on it, because I felt there was a lot more to Loki's song than met the eye in that scene. Just how he was carrying himself, how he kind of switched things up a little bit with it.
Yeah.
And so tell us what you discovered about this song.
So this took me on a rabbit hole of translations that lasted for pretty much since I saw it yesterday up until about 5 minutes before I got on with you guys, minus work. And even then I was doing it at work.
Lee, can you just real quick explain to the listeners, because I've had you talk about this on Bloody Kings Highlander podcast. Can we talk about your actual experience with languages and why you're able to understand?
Yes, my grandparents on my father's side all spoke Norwegian. I learned that from them and from my family in Norway, who I've spent quite a bit of time with over the years. Norwegian, Swedish, and Danish are mutually intelligible languages. In fact, all dubbed television in Norway, and actually all subtitled television in Norway, is done in Danish, because it's understandable to Danes and Swedes. And that also means you can understand written Icelandic. My grandfather on my mother's side spoke German, kind of sparked that in me. I took classes, went to Germany for a while. I took Japanese in high school. I actually have 2 different degrees in French, and I have a history degree that I earned in French. Italian, Spanish, Greek from my stepfamily, and then Latin, just because I studied history. You kind of can't get through medieval history without having at least sort of a base understanding of Latin.
So that means you actually understand what Bjork is saying.
I understand that there are words coming out of her mouth. Nobody understands what she's saying, including her.
Okay, let's get back to Loki's song. Thank you for, first of all, explaining your street cred.
The verse that he has everybody in the bar sing, I actually, as I was listening and I kind of kept on playing it over again, you know, come to Heim again, you know, come home again, come home again. I realized, oh, this is the same song, even though it very drastically changed. And the way they were playing the cello is very similar to what's called Hardanger, which is a type of fiddle playing in Norway. And then I started recognizing little words, Ciel, la flamme, is sator. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is through ice and fire and flame. And then there was this word in there, Hagen, which in Norwegian means mountain, which would have made sense. But then I remembered in the Götterdämmerung, which is the story of Ragnarok as told by Wagner, who also the ring cycle, everyone knows that that's from that opera or that series of operas. One of the characters, Hagen, betrays the hero Siegfried, who has been given this magical device. And, you know, he's trying to use this. He's had his memory wiped, which we find has had to happen to all the variants at the TVA. And there is a person, or there is a wood nymph that is trying to get Siegfried, the hero of this opera, to give up this special ring. And he refuses to do it, and he gets killed by Hagen later on. And so Loki is singing about this character Hagen, who is from the ring cycle. Now, another word for nymph is sylph, which comes from silvestris, which means forest in Latin. And sylph, sylvie, not too far of a stretch, especially where she's going. And that particular opera, which again is the story of Ragnarok, and we've already had several major characters, and Ragnarok means the twilight of the gods. We've already killed gods in the MCU. And one of the things that happens with the Ragnarok is that the Skeins of time die. Now, the Skeins are held by the Norns, which are three weaver women who are responsible for weaving time together, weaving the story of the life. We even talked about this in last summer when we did the 13th Warrior. The skein of your life was woven long ago. Oh, right. You know, you, this philosophy is in there, and there are three of them, of these Norns, that keep time. And we have a statue of three of these timekeepers. And I believe that the reason why Loki is being brought into this is because this is the final part of this story. And even the Götterdämmerung, the Ragnarok, starts with Loki playing a trick on Thor, getting him to kill Baldur, which leads to all sorts of stuff, including Fafnir, the wolf that we see in Thor Ragnarok, the unleashing of hell, you know, the death of the gods, and the rise of a few new ones. And like all of this is in this little song. You do not reference this story, you know, especially being sung by a Norse god. Like, this has to mean something. I think this is huge. I think this is telling us where the story is going. And it takes a huge nerd like me to sit down and translate.
What if it's just a little throwaway thing there to kind of pay tribute to, you know, that we're doing our homework?
You wouldn't have this many tie-ins unless it was going somewhere. I mean, this is way too on the nose for characters that we have established in this show already.
I also want to back up Lee's point why I think this is important. I look at how Sylvie reacts when he starts singing this, and she's not happy. You can see it in her face. She is not.
Well, he doesn't have his uniform on anymore.
Well, but it's more than that.
Yeah, that's rage. Why are you saying this?
We're singing. Yeah, that song affected her. And hearing the translation from Lee, it makes me wonder, is Sylvie something from Asgard that survived Ragnarok? And is she trying to, whether it's from the MCU timeline or an alternate timeline, but is she trying to get access to the timekeepers to restore Asgard and prevent Ragnarok from happening?
You know, when you were telling that story, Lee, when you were bringing up the character of Hagen, it was reminding me of whatever happened to Dawes.
Which one's that? Dork. Well, and, you know, this is one of those things, like, so with something as cerebral as Loki, I have to believe that there is at least part of this is leading to something. You don't spend that much time in that short of a show on something that's that much of a throwaway. That scene you know, led me to 24 hours worth of research. And, you know, I hate Wagner. The Ring Cycle is overhyped melodramatic crap. But the story is universal. I mean, it's the second most popular telling of Norse mythology after the MCU at this point.
Maybe Loki's just too smart for me.
I think it's stuff like this that, you know, makes people smart. I think it's the kind of thing that makes people wonder, what's this? You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I was watching Highlander.
Well, I want them to dumb it down. They got three episodes to impress
me. I'm just going to say this. I bet we're the only podcast that has something like this on it. They're going to reference it.
And
Loki episode 3.
I looked this up. Nobody has had this theory. You heard it here first on the Fandom Podcast Network, everybody. Thank you very much. I'll be waiting for my check.
I'm still waiting for a check, so you got a long way to
really. Yeah, but I'm prettier.
I want to hit the last. Well, that's true. But I want to hit the last point that I think was major out of this, guys, and that is the fact of the revelation that the TVA agents are actually variants themselves. And they and Loki's reaction to discovering this fact. And it was a genuine reaction from Loki that, wait, they don't know that? And it's, or they like, he was concerned for them. Like, at least maybe for Mobius and stuff like that. But that was a huge game changing point in this episode that, again, is they delivered it very casually.
Well, to me, it didn't really hit me as a big surprise because you're getting the feeling that the TVA is dirty mm-hmm. anyway. And so the fact that these people are unwilling pawns, just like people that are working underneath Hydra think it's for S.H.I.E.L.D., it didn't hit as a hammer over the head like you would think something would, because we're already feeling that already. So it didn't come to me as a big surprise. That was just me personally.
I feel like it gives layers.
I knew there was something up with the TV. Yeah, it gives a layer.
Yeah, layers, yeah. But, I mean, whatever.
I think we all speculated something was up with the TVA. But I think this is a major revelation in this fact of how it could affect characters we've seen going forward. Right. And including a certain judge that's a member of the TVA who I think has a lot more knowledge of what's going on. And that could be where you end up getting the Kang connection with her because of her history in the comics with Kang, which we talked about last week, and Kevin gave me the finger of shame, but I do think it's a big thing for what's going to happen in the immediacy of the Loki series. And go ahead, Kevin.
You were finishing a thought. I'll go ahead.
The thought I'm finishing is I would say we're 90% confirmed that there's going to actually be a second season of Loki. There's been a lot of chatter about it. Hiddleston's even talked about it. Does that affect how they do the storytelling for these final three episodes? Because they kind of ran it in seasons.
That's an interesting thing, because I was thinking about how, you know, when we were in halfway through WandaVision and halfway through Falcon Winter Soldier, we felt that we were in the MCU, and the MCU was progressing, you know, into the next phase four that we have here. We're getting more of the cosmic side of this, where in those two shows, we got what was happening on Earth. And I think it's really important that they find a way to bring us back to something that is familiar. It's a double-edged sword, because the lesson that I learned when we were podcasting about specifically starting with WandaVision, and we are careful with Falcon Winter Soldier, is not to speculate and wish too much of hoping what we will see, you know, and the little things like they're teasing about this devil character, you know, and like who that could be, because that was brought up during Mephisto was brought up during WandaVision. I don't want to get my hopes up and saying, well, if they're going to fix this and get this back on track and make this feel more like a Marvel thing other than just, you know, Loki making us familiar with that, I don't know how they're going to do it. It's frustrating to even get my hopes up anymore because of how we were let down of doing that too much.
Well, I've been let down by Mephisto theories ever since Avengers, because I thought that's who Alexis Denisov was playing when he's talking to Loki and then reveals like to fight Earth is to court death. Like, that seemed to specifically say that that's Mephisto, and then Ronan just snaps his neck in Guardians.
Yeah. Now, I do think, and I'm going to come back to this, I do think that the timeline issue that was caused by Sylvian at the end of episode 2 is not something that's going to be resolved at the end of Loki, because I really do think that is the major thing that's going to set up things that are going to happen in Spider-Man and in Doctor Strange. Whether we see those characters in the show, I highly doubt that, but I do think the ramifications of Loki, that's how we get to some of the things that happen in those two movies.
I want to bring up a point here real quick. So in episode 2, we start learning more about the character that this variant that we find out is Sylvie is killing these agents. Knowing now that they're unwilling people, not knowing what's actually going on, their variants, does that justify or does it make it worse of what she's been doing with killing these people?
I think it makes it worse in the aspect of, I mean, we see it in this episode. She uses that deletion thing on several of these people, but I think maybe it's,
do you mean that rod, yeah, the rod thing?
But maybe it's also a mercy, because we don't know what the circumstances are that these people have been plucked from the timeline as variants too, and what has caused them to be variants. So I think there's a lot of shades of gray with that.
I'd also say it puts her on an even keel with the TVA at this point, because the TVA is arbitrarily saying you're the version of this person that does not deserve to exist. You know, I mean, like, Loki's crime wasn't what he did in New York. Loki's crime was not continuing the timeline they said he was supposed to.
Yeah. Well, let's get into phase 4 with our episode final thoughts and any next week's predictions. Lisa,
I'm just really excited. I don't want to predict. I've already done way too much by translating a random song that he sang in the middle of the episode. And I'm really excited for this. It's weird to be on the opposite side from you guys, but I hope for all our sakes, I'm the one that's right about this, because I think this is going to be a great show.
I hope so. I hope you are too. I'm just going to say that this last episode that we're discussing right now, episode 3, is now unfortunately made me go, if I'm going to go into this and enjoy these last 3 episodes of Loki, I'm going to have to lower my expectations. And I hate doing that, because I do that every time when a new G.I. Joe movie comes out. I got to lower my expectations to enjoy the darn movie. And it's like a trigger mechanism. I want it when there's something that I want to enjoy, but I've been let down, I go to that, okay, well, the next version, the next movie, the next episode, I got to lower my expectations. And that's what I feel like going into episode 4. And I don't
Snake
know.
Eyes
I don't
talks know now. Now.
Kyle?
See, I'm of the opposite of you, Kevin. I'm actually going into the next episode with higher expectations because of the corner I think they've painted themselves in. They have got to bring... It's Loki. I mean, we're Asgard, so I'm going to say they've got to bring the hammer in this in episode 4. We have got to see something that is going to either really shake things up, or at least put us on the path for episodes 5 and 6 that are going to lead to the big revelations of Loki. We can't have another transposition episode here of a lot of talking on screen. There needs to be developments, and again, not that saying there weren't developments in this episode, but there weren't enough developments in this episode. Again, we're talking about pacing. Doctor Who is notorious for this. Doctor Who will get into a storyline and extend it throughout the season, and you don't get all of a sudden in like one episode, it's like everything catches up. Oh, this all makes sense. They put the puzzle pieces together, and now it's like, oh my God, you look at the season in a totally different way. I've mentioned a lot of comparisons to Doctor Who. So if they're taking that approach with Loki, great. But this is the risk when you have people kind of pre-programmed to how the MCU works. And this was kind of the thing that happened even with WandaVision, was it took people to the 3rd and 4th episode to get into WandaVision, and they weren't used to that with the MCU. And now they're playing the long game again here within Loki. So it's an interesting experiment by Marvel. It's wait and see what happens. I'm not going to make any predictions because I honestly don't. It could go in so many different directions at this point. I don't know. What I have hopes for is that we address what's happened with the TVA and the timeline. we get something revelation about Sylvie, and we see Loki kick whatever plan he's been working on under the scenes, because it's Loki. He's always got something working on that nobody knows about start revealing itself in this too. So I think I'm going in with high expectations of episode four, that they're going to flip the switch, because I don't want to go in with low. I really don't want to go in with low expectations, because Marvel Studios has earned my trust at this point.
One last point I wanted to make was, I on a rewatch, I hope this doesn't become the episode that I have to skip over. You know, where like when I want to do a rewatch of the MCU, I skip over Hulk or Thor, the Dark World type of thing, where I'm just like, I'm not feeling those episodes. And some people feel that about Iron Man 3 too. But I just hope that's not, I hope Lee is right, that what happens in this episode is laying some seeds to where it's going to want to make us to go back and watch this episode. Kind of like the way Endgame made us want to go back and watch Thor, the Dark World, because how that was referenced, you know? So I hope
actually just
right.
did a rewatch of Thor, the Dark World. And I feel like there is stuff in there and in here that is going to lead to Love and Thunder. Because yeah, they were talking about, you know, Jane being stronger than she knows. And we've never addressed the fact that she's the only human we know of that's really manipulated a Infinity Stone other than Wanda.
And Wanda's not necessarily human.
Yeah. So I think that there's stuff that's happened in that one. I always liked that one, but I thought the brother relationship was probably the best in that one.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, I agree with that.
She wouldn't want us to fight. Well, she'd hardly be surprised, would she? Such a great moment.
All right, Kyle, close this out.
Well, it has been an interesting episode of True Believers, that is for sure. Lee bringing some knowledge. Lee just gets bonus Excelsior points. I'm going to just let him do whatever he wants to with them, because he's Lee and he can speak way too many different languages. And so, Kevin, though, you've earned a couple because you were honest about your feelings of this episode. So we're going to throw you 4 Excelsior points this week. And I think with 4 Excelsior points, I think what we can do is give you the remnants of Mjolnir after Hela destroyed it in Thor Ragnarok. So I just don't know what those I don't know what those pieces can do, but I know they still have a little sparky.
I'm just going to lay them out like in Lord of the Rings when, you know, they see the remnants of the sword Narsil. That is reforged for Aragorn. Thank you, Narsil. I'll just lay them out like Narsil.
There you go. Just don't. I don't know how to get a hold of Eitri for you to give you a new handle. So I don't. Sorry about that, but that's going to get us here to our wrap up of True Believers. But before we go, it's going to tell you how you can find not only True Believers, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, it starts at our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, you can visit our YouTube channel as well. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. Of course, we have a great Facebook page for True Believers, as well as the Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow the Fandom Podcast on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can find me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW, or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And of course, you can find me over on the True Believers MCU Facebook group.
And Lee, when you're not rewriting the entire Rosetta Stone program, where can people find you on social media?
Well, if I'm not in the bar car leading a drunken sing-along, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Way of the Way.
And of course, to visit our TeePublic store, we've got gear for all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We are working on getting some True Believers gear up there, hopefully soon. Search for Fandom Podcast Network on TeePublic and fire away. All the proceeds help us keep the lights on and the power running around here. And of course, too, we love reviews because, as always, we're striving to make the best podcast to feed your ears, which means we love those Apple reviews, those iTunes reviews. Of course, 5 stars, but you know what? We value your input. Either way, again, I want to thank everybody for listening to us. Kevin, thank you for your honesty on this week's episode. I think it's good that we have some different perspectives.
Yeah, I definitely. And I am hopeful for the next episode. So
And Lee, you did yeoman's work with translations. I can't thank you enough, because I think what you presented, I haven't heard on any other podcast, and I do think it makes you take a different look at some of the things in this episode and what could happen in the future with Loki.
Yeah, well, and you know, we still don't have Sylvie saying that she's Loki. You know, and she's like, don't call me that. I think that there's something going on there. I think it's going to be really cool, wherever it goes.
Yeah. Well, the mischief is in full gear. How are they going to get off this planet? There's no Ark. I don't see Indiana Jones showing up trying to find a lost Ark for them. So, you know, because we got timelines everywhere. Different Multiverse of Madness is coming. What can I say? But I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will catch you next time for episode 4 of Loki, and who knows what that's going to bring. So until then, I want to thank everybody for listening, and as always, as we like to say around here, make ours Marvel.